Let us open our Bibles today to the fifth chapter of Mark. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and beginning with verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship into the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this saying. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. The scripture that I've just read and that we are looking at today begins with the Lord Jesus Christ again crossing the Sea of Galilee, and immediately much people gathered to him. Now, we saw last time that he had crossed this sea to deliver a man called a demoniac. And he was called this because he was possessed of a legion of demons. The people there in that area, the Gadarenes, they prayed him to leave, which he did, and so now has crossed again the sea and back on the shore near to Capernaum. In the passage that we read, or that we read rather, we read of the Lord working two miracles. Two miracles. And I have four truths to bring to us from these two miracles today. And let us see each of these truths in reference to the miracle of salvation. God's great salvation. Because truly, the saving of a sinner is a miracle. If you have been saved this morning, you have experienced a miracle in your salvation. Four truths that I want to bring out to us from these two miracles. First, the two miracles testify to this glorious truth. Number one, the two miracles testify to this glorious truth. He is who he declared himself to be. He is, this glorious truth, he is he whom he declared himself to be. You know, people quote John 3 and verse 16 quite often. I'm told it is the most widely known verse in all the world. But let's remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one who spoke John 3:16. And what did he say? He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." His only begotten Son. As I've said many times, God has many sons by creation. He has many sons by adoption, but he only has one son who is his only begotten Son. Now, the Jews, and when I say the Jews, in preaching, I'm speaking about the leaders, the Jewish leaders of the nation of Israel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, they are called the princes of this world. The princes of this world, the rulers of the Judaism of that day. They knew and they understood exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ was proclaiming when he spoke of himself as working even as the Father. Let me read a couple of verses to us from John chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Jesus answered them. He's answering the religious rulers, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, those who were in charge of the worship of the Jews at that time. Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now they understood the Father, God, works. He controls all things. He rules over all things. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore, immediately, therefore, because of that statement, the Father worketh hitherto, and I work, therefore, because of that statement, the Jews, the religious rulers, sought the more to kill him. Because, here it is, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. This is a glorious truth. And we see that in these two miracles, that he is who he professed himself to be. He is God manifest in the flesh. Remember, he told his disciples, this is recorded in John 14, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And when he said, the Father worketh hitherto and I work, in other words, that he's one with the Father. He's equal with the Father. He is eternal as the Father is eternal. And all the attributes which we worship and love to hear about concerning the Father, each and every one of those is equally true of God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And in him, as the Apostle Paul said, dwelleth the fullness, not just part, but the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in the person, the man, Christ Jesus. He is who he professed himself to be. He is God equal with the Father and with God, the Holy Spirit. In this passage, he healed the woman of her issue of blood. That was one miracle. And he raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. And his miracles, and we read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we read of the various miracles which the Lord worked, and they are all to testify to his deity, that he is the Son of God. His miracles testify loudly. I mean, they testify loudly to all, to everyone who reads the Word of God, to everyone who hears the Word of God, that he is God manifest in the flesh. Sometimes people say, but preacher, Elijah, he was a great prophet. No doubt about that. He was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire. Elisha, who followed Elijah, both of those men, great prophets, and many miracles were worked at their hands. And yes, even the raising of the dead, as we see in one of these miracles. But never one of those prophets of old ever said what the Lord Jesus Christ said here. Not one of them. Elijah prayed. I think it was his son that he worked a miracle in raising him from the dead. But you remember, he prayed. He prayed. And Elisha, the same thing. They prayed because they didn't have the power in themselves to raise a body that was dead, a person that was dead, bring them back to life. They didn't have that power, but the Lord Jesus Christ did. Yeah. Not one of those prophets ever said like our Lord did to this young girl of 12 years of age, I say unto thee, arise. I say unto thee, who has the power of life and death? God does. God does. And he exercised his power as the God-man. Keep your places here, but look over with me in John chapter 5 just a moment. John chapter 5. And these are his words beginning in verse 18. John chapter 5. Therefore the Jews. Now this, again, you remember the religious rulers. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now that can only be true because they are one. The Father and the Son are one. They're not two gods. There's one God, and God the Holy Spirit also. They're one, and what one does, the other does. The Father worketh, the Son works. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, have you heard his word? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath. Doesn't say he's going to have, no. Hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, The hour is coming, and now is. Now is. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, those who are spiritually dead, dead in trespasses and sins, the hour is coming, and now is, when they shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. This glorious truth, these two miracles testify to this glorious truth. He is who he declared himself to be, the only begotten Son of the Father. The second truth, these two miracles testify to this sobering truth. This sobering truth. Only when men are in great need will they seek the Lord. Only when men are in great need do they seek the Lord. We see this with the ruler of the synagogue. Notice verses 22 and 23. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death, literally at the last breath. My little daughter is breathing her last breath. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she shall be healed and she shall live. Alfred Adersheim had this comment in his book, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. And I quote, Unless the disease had been both sudden and exceedingly rapid, which is barely possible, it is difficult to understand why her father had not on the previous day applied to Jesus. Only in the hour of supreme need, when his only child lay dying, did he resort to Jesus. That's a sobering truth, but we know it's so. It's so of all men. We see the same with this woman who had an issue of blood. Verses 25 and 26. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. This is a sobering truth that we all know, and we all know it only too well. Men will try anything and everything rather than come to the Lord Jesus Christ. All men, by nature, left to ourselves, we will try anything and everything rather than come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Men will try religion. Men will try morality. Men will try ceremony. Men will try ritualism. Men will go anywhere and everywhere other than to come to the fountain of living waters. But it is only when God the Holy Spirit makes His people willing in the day of His power that men will come to Christ. That men will look to Christ. To those who had the scriptures, our Lord said this in his day. They not only had the scriptures, the Old Testament, but they studied the scriptures. It was their life. Think about this. He's speaking to men. It was their life to study the scriptures. That's what they did when they got up in the morning And that's what there were. That was their work through the day, 6 days a week. It was to study the Scripture. And they could tell you so much about the Scriptures. They could tell you the middle Scripture in all of the Scriptures. They could tell you how many words there were. They could tell you everything. That was their life. Their study was the Scriptures. But our Lord said unto them, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they, the Scriptures, are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Men, all of us by nature, we'll try anything. And it's amazing to me, if I did not know the truth about man's lost condition, it's amazing to me what people will do, what people will subject themselves in the name of religion, all in the hopes of making themselves right with God. As I said, anything and everything other than coming to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and bowing before Him. Why is that? Because we are all born with a fallen nature. Yeah. We're all born with an adversity, an enmity with God. Every man by nature. And thank God for the work of God the Holy Spirit, who brings a man. And the way He brings a man to Christ is He brings a person to see their great need. These two people, they realized they had a great need. I mean, this one man, his daughter's at the point of death, taking her last breath. And so he resorts to Christ. This woman, she spent everything she had and only has grown worse. So she comes to Christ. She looks to Christ. Only God, the Holy Spirit. That's a miracle. If you're looking to Christ today, our Lord said, I am come that they that see shall not see, and they that don't see shall see. Are you one of those who don't see? You don't see any reason in yourself why the Lord would have mercy on you. You fit the category? You don't see any reason in yourself why the Lord would save you. You have no goodness. You have no way to make yourself acceptable unto God. You've been made to see. You've been made to see your need of Christ. So that's the second truth that these two miracles testify to. It is a sobering truth. Men will not come to Christ until they experience this great need. Number three, the two miracles testify to this amazing truth. What is it? The willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The willing. It's amazing. This amazing truth, the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Willingness to do what? To deliver and to save sinners. For the Son of Man is come both to seek and to save that which is lost. Those were His words. Notice in these two miracles, the case of Jairus, he asked the Lord, Lord, come. And lay your hands on my daughter and heal her. And without any hesitation, you don't read of any hesitation on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as soon as this man came and bowed down and said, Lord, help me! Immediately, the Lord Jesus Christ goes with Jairus to his house. And Jesus went with him. I want you to keep your place here, but turn over back to Matthew. In Matthew chapter 9, Now, Matthew records this miracle as well. But I want to point out something to us that Matthew tells us. Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler. Now, we know who this ruler was, Jairus. There came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. I have a friend who's a pastor, and he pointed this out. I've never heard anyone else point this out. The Lord, do you see that? The Lord Jesus Christ followed Jairus? You see that in verse 19? And Jesus arose and followed him. Amazing as it may be, here you have the Son of God following this man. To me, that only shows the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The willingness of Christ to help, to save all those who come unto Him. You know, somehow Satan is able to convince most people that God somehow doesn't want to save you, that He won't save you. Oh, yes, He will. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's more willing to save than men are to seek salvation. Yes, He is. The willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, we read of Joshua one day. He prayed, Son, S-U-N, Son, stand thy still. And you know what happened? The sun stood still. A blind beggar cried out unto the Lord Jesus Christ one day, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And the sun, S-O-N, stood still. Come, Lord, come to my house and help me. We see the willingness of Christ. And the same is true of the woman with the issue of blood. She came, the scripture says, she came in the crowd behind as though she thought she needed to steal this blessing. As she needed somehow to steal this blessing, that He wouldn't be willing to give the blessing to heal her. Didn't she know how willing He was to bless her, to heal her, that she had to come somehow and sneak up behind Him? Touch the hem of His garment. No need to come from behind. Come, sinner, come and welcome. We used to have this hymn in the hymn book we had. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. You have not because you asked not. A willing Savior. And the fourth truth, the two miracles testify to the truth concerning the place of the grace of faith. To the woman, the Lord Jesus said, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And to Jairus, just as soon as Jairus heard this message from his house, your daughter's dead. Why bother you? The Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, said unto him, Be not afraid, only believe. This truth, the place of the grace of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There are three elements in faith, that is, in saving faith. Three elements. First of all, there's knowledge. You cannot come back from a place you have never been, and you cannot believe in one of whom you have never heard. Mark says in verse 27 of the woman when she had heard. When she had heard of Jesus. And think about this. Jairus, he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was one of the rulers of the synagogue. He also had heard of Jesus. It may well be and probably is true that it was the synagogue in Capernaum where he was a ruler. Now, the Lord had been there before. Look back to chapter 3. In chapter 3 of Mark, the first few verses, the scripture says, he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Now, Jairus was a ruler of a synagogue. Most likely it was this synagogue. He was there that day. He saw this. When he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, and Jairus was one of those men, no doubt, who had a hard heart. Let the man suffer. Let him continue with that withered hand. But don't profane the Sabbath day. Oh, these were truly men of compassion, weren't they? These religious rulers. Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as the others. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Now, Jairus' faith was not as strong as the faith of the centurion. Because you see, in our text, Jairus told the Lord or asked the Lord, come and lay your hands on her, and she shall be healed and live. Remember the centurion, because he had men under his command, he said to this one, go, and he went, to another, come, and he came. He told the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the healing of his servant, just speak the word. Just speak the word. I'm not worthy that you even come under my roof. Just speak the word. And what I see here, I see this truth that is revealed in the Word of God. There are degrees of faith. That centurion, our Lord said, had great faith. Jairus didn't. But here's the thing. It's not the amount of our faith that saves. It's the Savior. It's the Savior who saves. Our Lord did not say to this woman that the healing virtue had come out of her faith. The healing virtue came out of him. He's the Savior. But it was just a grain of faith, the size of a mustard seed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, faith begins with knowledge. I read this story several times over the years, but years ago on Niagara, on the river Niagara, a current going towards the fall, that a small boat capsized, and two men were in the water trying to swim against it, and somehow people on the shore got a rope out there somehow to them, and both of them grabbed hold of the rope. But then a big log came passing by. A log's a lot bigger than a rope. And so one of them let loose of the rope and grabbed hold of the log. And he went right over the falls to his death. The other man had hold of the rope, but the rope was fastened to the shore. And so he was pulled rather to the shore and was saved. It's not the rope's small compared to the log, yes. It's not the amount of our faith. It's the object of our faith. Christ is the Lord. The second thing about faith, there must be belief. Not only knowledge, but belief. Both of these individuals had knowledge of Christ, and they both believed that He could meet their need. He could. He could heal his daughter. He could heal this woman of her issue of blood. They believed that. And number three, in faith, not only knowledge and belief, but there's trust. Both of these individuals, they believed, they had knowledge, and they, when they heard, they trusted. They trusted their case to Him. Here's my daughter. I'm trusting her into Thy hands. Here I am with my sickness. I'm trusting that You will heal me. And He met both of their needs, didn't He? And when a sinner trusts, just as one writer said, not just bows down at the feet of Christ, but falls upon Christ. Cannot do anything. Have no power of myself. But I trust the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the ever-living One. Faith. The place of faith. You say, why is the grace of faith commended like it is? In 1 Corinthians 13, didn't the Apostle Paul say, now abideth faith, hope, love, but the greatest of these is love? Yes, he did. But you see, faith, when we reach heaven, sure, will no longer live by faith. It'll be by sight. And hope shall be realized, but love shall go on throughout eternity. That's true. But this is also true. Of these three graces, we call them the cardinal graces, faith, hope, and love. But faith is a receiving grace. That's all it does. It just receives. And so, to as many as received Him, that is Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name. I pray that the Lord would bless this word to all of us here this morning. More truths from these two great miracles. I want us to sing the hymn, Ring the Bells of Heaven. There is joy today.